I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 25. Proverbs 25. I'm going to look, Lord willing, at verse 23. Got a little confession to make to you. A few days ago, I started looking at this passage of Scripture. And for a day, maybe a day and a half, I read everything that I possibly could read on this passage of Scripture. And I failed for myself, I'm sure through the weakness of my own understanding, I failed to see or read anything that bore witness to my heart that that was the message of this passage of Scripture. Everything I read just was cold. No life. Nothing of the glory of Christ. Nothing of the need of a helpless sinner. And I truly confessed, I felt in my heart, I may have to just say, I don't know what it means. And I'd be willing to do that. But I feel as though that the Lord has given me some light on this passage. And this passage that, to my understanding, my ability to read, and seemed so dark, so veiled. I truly feel now that this passage of Scripture contains the whole of this Bible. The whole message, everything we've ever heard for years and years and years and years is contained in this verse of Scripture. Every truth set forth in the Word of God concerning the salvation of a sinner is in this passage of Scripture. But who is sufficient for these things? I stand before you right now and I'm as serious as I can be. I am so fearful of being able to set across what I truly believe the Lord's put in my heart. But by the grace of God, I'm going to, waiting on the Lord, trusting the Lord, and praying that the Spirit of God alone, who can bless this message, bless it to our hearts. We need it. I'm a weak, frail vessel that is scared. I pray God bless it. Proverbs 25:23. The north wind driveth away the rain. So doth an angry countenance, a backbiting tongue. Now this book, the book of Proverbs, is a book of wisdom. The Spirit of God moved upon a man named Solomon to pen these words, but it's concerning God's wisdom. The wisdom of God, the wisdom that reveals how God can be just and justify a sinner. The Scripture declares, the north wind driveth away rain. So doth an angry countenance, a backbiting tongue. Now, to understand what is in this verse of Scripture, we need to consider each word, every word, and ask the Lord to give us some understanding and let Scripture interpret Scripture. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what I think. It matters what God says. That's the only thing that matters. The north wind. You know, there's only one other time in all the Scriptures that the north wind is spoken of. That the north wind is referred to. And it's Song of Solomon. Turn over to Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon 4:16. Song of Solomon is just, okay, we got Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon 4, verse 6. Here's what the Scripture says. Awake, O north wind, and come thou south, blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. Awake, O north wind. The north wind is the Spirit of God, the wind. The Spirit blows, John 3 says, as the wind blows where he will. So here we know that the north wind is the Spirit of God, the north wind, speaking of the convicting mercy of Almighty God toward his people. The north, blow, O north wind, upon my garden. What we need this morning, we need the north wind, the loving, chastening, convicting, trying, proving Spirit of God to blow upon the garden of the Lord, his chosen, his elect, his people. Blow up. I need to be taught something of what I am. I need to be taught something of my frailty. So the Spirit of God in Proverbs 25, 23, it says, the north wind, that wind, that north wind, that spirit that speaks only of Christ. The Lord said that. He shall speak. He said, I go, but I won't leave you comfortless. I'll pray the Father, he sends you another comforter. He shall speak of me. He'll speak of me. And that's the only message that the Spirit of God has. So what happens is the north wind, the Spirit of God in convicting power, mercy. Do you realize the mercy of God, that God would show us what we are, what we need? I'm born with a heart that thinks I don't need anything. I got this. I can do what I will. I can accept the Lord when I want to. Spirit of God has shown me something. I'm needy. I'm frail. Left to myself, dead in trespasses and sin. So here the north wind reveals Christ, and he shows the people what they are. The north wind driveth away rain. Now, we look at, all right, now, first of all, rain. All right, now, I know this. This verse of Scripture is not talking about the weather system here in the United States or in the world or the barometric pressure and all that kind of stuff. The rain, this word rain right here, is a word that is the same word that is used in Genesis 7:12 when the Lord says, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. Now what that is, it's not talking just about a little drizzle. This particular word is a word that is speaking of violent, heavy rain. And back in Genesis, rain, when the Lord sent rain upon the earth for 40 days and 40 nights, what was that? Judgment. God saw that every imagination of the thoughts of men was only evil continually. Every thought, evil. And God sent rain, judgment. And so here's the Spirit of God is revealing something to God's people. This is who he's talking to. He's talking to the people, the sheep of God. This book is from God to his people concerning the glory of Christ. And what does the north wind? What do? He driveth away or reveals how God has driven away or drives away the wrath of God. Now that word driveth away. Now, if you have a margin, I've got a margin in here. It says that word driveth is actually bringeth forth rain. You think, well, what is it? Does it drive it away or does it bring it forth? Yes. That's the answer. It does both. What does the Spirit of God reveal? The Spirit of God is revealing that the wrath of God is going to be driven away for God's elect by bringing it forth upon Christ. God's going to have to do something for Himself. You've heard Brother Scott say this? How true. The Lord's got to do something for Himself before He can do anything for a needy sinner. So here's the Spirit of God revealing for the elect to go free. The north wind reveals how God does drive away the rain. How He does take that, the wrath of God is going to have to cast the debt of His people as far as the east is from the west. Going to have to drive it away, but it's only going to be driven away one way. God is a just God. I'm a just God and a Savior. But in His justice, He's going to absolutely have to deal with the sins of His people in a substitute, one that is made to be them, not just merely to take His place. Brother Neil, that was the best example I've ever heard in my life. Talking about, we always think about a substitute. You got a bunch of guys out there playing football, and the linebacker, he's done got hurt, so let's take him out and I'll put another one in. That's just a substitute, meaning I'll take your place. That's not what, when I say He is the substitute of sinners, I'm talking about He is actually made what they are. He becomes them. So in other words, for a just God to deal with the sins of His people, that debt's got to be driven away, but it's got to be brought forth upon the substitute. He's going to have to do something with that sin. God just can't sweep it under the rug. But I looked also at that word, driveth away. The north wind driveth away rain, or reveals how God, Spirit of God, God Himself, in that covenant of grace, the triune God, Father, Son, Spirit, God doth drive it away. But I looked at that word also, that driveth away, and here's the definitions of that word. If you want to find this, I'll tell you where I get it. It's in the Blue Letter Bible. You look it up. So here's what that word driveth away means. Pain, formed, bring forth, travail, grieved, and wounded. Any flags going up? How did Almighty God drive away the debt, the sin? How did He deal with it? I'll tell you how He did with it. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself must feel the pain. That's one of the words. The pain of God's justice. He must be formed to be what we are by nature. He hath made Him sin for us. He made Him sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Driveth away. Another word is travail. That's driveth away. That's another one of the definitions of driveth away. Travail. Jehovah must see the travail of His soul. God must see the suffering, the travail of His soul, that He might be satisfied. Again, we can't get away from the justice of Almighty God. Here's another word of driveth away. Grief and wounded. Christ Himself must grieve. He must be wounded for our transgressions, carry our sorrows, be stricken of God, bruised for our sins. And this truth right here, that first part right there, the north wind driveth away rain. Those few words, that is the message of this Bible. How can God Almighty save His people mercifully and still be just and deal with sin? Only in the person of the Lord Jesus
Christ.
Zechariah chapter 13. Zechariah 13, I'll read this for you. Verse 7, "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn my hand," that is, of mercy, "upon the little ones. The north wind driveth away rain." But continuing with the truth that we've set forth of it being the Lord Jesus Christ, is that what this verse says? Is that what it says concerning Him? Oh yeah. Look at the latter part of this verse. "So doth an angry countenance and a backbiting tongue. As the north wind driveth away rain," as God Himself driveth away the rain of His wrath and justice and judgment on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ on the behalf of His sheep, "so doth an angry countenance," same judgment, it produces something. How does it produce it? That word so, right there. You look at that word so. "The north wind driveth away rain, so." Now if you want a real blessing, I'll just tell you what it says. Again, you look it up. Please do. Please look up whatever I say. Look up everything I say. And if you find that I have misspoke, I will be the first one to tell you. But listen, let me tell you what that word right there means. The word so is actually, when you look it up, here's the letter. Here's the Greek letter. You know, when you look these words up in your Greek and Hebrew, you know, actually this now Proverbs is the Old Testament. That's Hebrew. It's written in Hebrew. But that little word right there is actually a Greek word. This is Hebrew, but that's a Greek word. And actually what the number of that Greek word is G1. G1. You say, well, what's the significance of that? Well, the word means alpha. The word means alpha. That's the first. That word so is actually alpha, the first letter of the Greek alphabet. But it's also the same word in Hebrew. Hebrew. And the part of speech, I know I'm trying to get technical, but I don't want to be technical. But let me tell you what the part of speech is. You know, it says, you know, some it's a verb or it's an adverb or something. This one right here is what's called an indeclinable noun. I didn't even know what the word indeclinable, I'd never heard of it. I guess I could figure it out if I thought about it. But indeclinable, that's just not a word that I use a lot, you know, in my plethora of speech. Indeclinable. That's an indeclinable noun. What does that mean? That means that this word, so, which means alpha, which is the first letter, the beginning, it is a noun that is not capable of declining. I thought, oh my. This word right here is actually used in the Old Testament. The definition of it is given in the Old Testament 4 times. And the definition of the word so right there in the New Testament is given 6 times. I'm going to give you one word out of the Old Testament, one verse out of the Old Testament and one verse out of the New Testament. And I'll tell you, here's how this word so, alpha. This is how it's actually used in a passage of Scripture to give the definition. Isaiah 44:6, "Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel and His Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, I am the last, and beside me there is no God." That's one of them out of the Old Testament. Here's one out of the New Testament, Revelation 1:8. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. So the word so in this passage of Scripture, in Proverbs 25, verse 23, the north wind driveth away rain. How? So. By the Lord Jesus Christ. This precious word, the Alpha, the beginning, the end, is Him. How has God put away the debt of His people? By them walking down an aisle, by them coming to an altar and praying through, by them making a decision, by them repeating the sinner's prayer, by being baptized? No. God Almighty has put away the debt of His people in Christ. God has done something for Himself that we couldn't possibly do. And then the latter part of this scripture, I'm going to wrap it up, keeping with our context. The north wind driveth away rain, so doth, or Christ doth, drive away an angry countenance. An angry countenance. And that angry countenance right there being driven away, it actually has two different parts that both are true. It's not two sides of one coin, or it's just two truths that are true. Drives away that angry countenance. Well, first of all, I know this, what it has done. I know what Christ has done in driving away. He's driven away the angry countenance, or the face of God that's been provoked by men's sin. I know that. He's put away our debt. He's appeased God. God's not angry with His people. He's driven away His angry countenance. God is angry with the wicked every day. Every day He's angry with them, but just for God's people, He's not angry. He's not angry. He's appeased. Peace has been established. So I know that the Lord Jesus Christ has driven away the angry countenance of Almighty God, who is just. But I tell you what else He's done. He's driven away and paid the debt of my angry countenance. That's what He's done. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2, verse 1 to 3. What am I by nature? What have I been delivered from the debt of? Yeah, that's the way I want to say it. Ephesians 2, verses 1 to 3. And you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Oh, we were all born with an angry countenance. We're all mad at God. We're all mad at Him. I mean, I wasn't mad at God. God said we were. And let God be true. Let us be a liar. But I'm telling you, though, the remnant of that angry countenance is still there. The presence of sin is still there. Paul the Apostle said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, what I see in myself, I don't like. I don't like. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" But lastly, in closing, not only has the north wind revealed how God has driven away the rain of His justice and His judgment in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, has taken away His angry countenance, has been appeased by the blood. When I see the blood, I'm going to pass over you. Lord, thank You for that. And thank You for delivering me from myself, my angry countenance, and my backbiting tongue. The Spirit of God reveals that God has delivered us in regenerating grace from a tongue, a speech that we thought was right, that we thought was secret. That's one of the words. Backbiting means actually secret, hidden from me. I didn't realize, Jeff, what I was doing. That's the problem. That backbiting tongue that I thought was right, and Almighty God has revealed to me what I was doing. I was ignorant. I didn't. In Luke chapter 12, here's what the Lord said concerning that spirit, that attitude, that backbiting tongue, that secret, hidden. Luke 12, verse 2 and 3. For there's nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever you have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which you have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. There's coming a time when Almighty God, all men, going to stand before Him, and the books are going to be open. And all the secrets then are going to be known. They weren't really secrets. God knew them. But God's going to expose them all. But I'm thankful to God that He would reveal. He'd take what I am, that backbiting tongue guy, and charge that guilt to Christ. And Christ paid for it. And then the Lord, in regenerating grace, revealed it to me. This is what you are. He reveals to His people what you are, what they are. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? You think Saul thought or knew he was persecuting God? He'd know that. He thought, I'm blameless before the law. I've never done anything wrong. That's all of us. All of us. And God revealed it to him. Told him, who art thou? I'm Jesus of Nazareth that you're persecuting. It's hard to kick against the pricks. You know what that means? It's not safe. Not safe. Delivered us from that backbiting tongue. So here we see in this passage of Scripture that every man, every woman that Almighty God has everlastingly loved. Let me tell you what the Lord says that He's done for. The Lord Jesus Christ was made sin for them. He felt the pain. He felt the grief. He felt the burden. And He put away our guilt in His own blood. And the Spirit of God, that north wind, comes and reveals to God's people what they are. Teaches them what they are by nature. That their debt's been driven away in the person of Christ, the soul Himself. Has put away God's angry countenance. Give me a new heart, a new spirit. Remove that heart of stone. And gave me a new heart, a soft heart. And told me what I was. You're just nothing but a backbiting bigot is all you are. But I've loved you. And I put away your guilt. Oh, that I might be found in Him. That I might know Him for God's glory and my eternal good. Amen.